Having grown up in the Stone Age, I had canvas tents when I was a kid. How many of you remember canvas tents, right? Canvas tents, yeah. That's what I had, boy. They were 250 pounds on my 50-pound body. Okay, it was a little different than that. I probably only weighed 49 pounds, but anyway. They were heavy, and we'd pack them out. I didn't have the blessings of being in the Adventist church at the time, so I was a Boy Scout. I didn't get the opportunity to be an adventurer or a pathfinder or any of that, so I had to be a Boy Scout, I guess. But we got the opportunity to camp, and we went to the corner of this rolling meadow up against the woods, and we pitched our tents there. And that afternoon, my uncle was the troop master, and he said, you know, we need to trench around the tents because, you know, it's getting cloudy, it could rain. So being the energetic kid that I was, I sort of did it. Just sort of. And I looked over at my cousin Tommy's place, my uncle's son, and man, his trench was perfect, you know? I mean, he must have struck a line to get that thing straight and just perfect. And it was the right depth all the way along, you know, down the sides. It was perfect trench. It was wonderful. I thought about that as it began to rain that night. I thought, should have dug a trench like Tommy's, you know? I tell you. But I thought I'd be okay. I was warm. I was good. Everything's okay. You know, it's not going to be too bad. I got this tent, you know? You remember those tents, don't you? You know, they were just literally like a sheet of canvas that you sort of wrapped around some poles, right? And stretched it out, and that was it. And it kind of overlapped in the front. And you hope the bugs didn't find you because they could get in. You know how it was, right? You had tents like that, didn't you? And you could see underneath of them and everything, you know? That was the kind of tent it was. And I was good. Because my father had bought me one of those surplus down sleeping bags, you know? Must have been from the Korean War or something. This baby was serious, you know? And it had one of those zippers on it. I don't know if you've seen them before, but the zipper, when it would come up, it had this little metal thing on it. And instead of allowing the soldier to have to unzip the whole thing like this, right, all the way down in order to get out, he could just pop it right off the top and it would just come up and then it would just separate and you could get out really fast that way in case something bad was happening, right? Fortunately, I never had that happen. The bull in that meadow had been safely locked away, so I was good. But it was warm. It was nice. And I was in this thing and I was toasty and listening to the rain coming down on the canvas and everything. And I'm thinking, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm content. Maybe I should have dug a better ditch, but I'm probably okay. I'm good. I'm warm. I kind of think that's the way Saul was too. Turn with me to 1 Samuel. I think Saul was content. You know, he'd done some things right. He'd done all right. He'd been blessed, and God had worked with him, and he was doing good. And so in 1 Samuel, Saul had been pretty unhappy with what had happened with the Amorites. The Ammonites, all those names, right? The Ammonites had come, and they had camped against Jabesh-Gilead in chapter 11. And the folks in Jabesh had said, hey, we'll just serve you. We won't fight this out. And the Ammonites said, okay, just to show What a bunch of turkeys you are in honor of Thanksgiving. He says, we'll make peace with you. But here's the deal. We get to put out all of your right eyes just to show that your God's nothing. Whoa. And the men of Jabesh said, well, okay, let's see if somebody will come and help us. So Saul got together 330,000 men. That was a pretty good deal. 330,000 men came down and freed the city of Jabesh-Gilead from the Ammonites, chased them, destroyed them, and freed it and was made king. And he said, that's good. That's good enough. I'm good with that. He let all the guys go home except just a couple of thousand for him and 1,000 for his son. All the rest of them went home. He could have pressed his advantage. He could have gone ahead, but he was content. It's good. I got it now. We took care of the threat. Everything's good. We can relax. He had a warm sleeping bag. He was good, right? But there was other problems that he was also content with. Other things that he was all right with. Take a look at chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 22. 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 22. And it came about on the day of battle, now the Philistines have come knocking. And on the day of battle, it says, that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan his son. So Saul and Jonathan were the only ones that had any serious weapons of war. Nobody else in the army had one. Not a sword, not a spear. And Saul had been okay to allow this circumstance to develop. Hadn't dug the trench well enough, you know? And then on top of that, he isn't concentrating on God. He's looking at his circumstances. Look at verses 5 through 7. Chapter 13, verses 5 through 7. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. Think about this, 30,000 chariots, 30,000. They were like tanks back in those days, you know? Can you imagine having 30,000 tanks coming at you? That'd be pretty serious, wouldn't it? 30,000 tanks and, hey, I got a sling, I'm good. 30,000, all right, a bow, I got a bow, I'm good with that. What? Against a tank, basically, of that day. But that wasn't enough. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash. Can you imagine what this was like? 30,000 tanks, if you will, 6,000 horsemen, and so many people that we're not even going to bother to count. And this was what occupied Saul's mind. Oh, but wait, there's more. Verse 6, when the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, what? In danger, you think? For the people were distressed, that the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, in holes, and in pits. Is this sad or what? This was God's people. Are you with me here? God's people hiding because there's a tank out there. Oh no. And a couple of horses. And a few people. And we're going to get scared when we've got God on our side. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? And so they were afraid and hid just like in everything. What did that give occasion to the people of the Philistines. Those guys, the bad guys. What did they think? What did they think of the God of the Hebrews? As they're hiding in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over the Jordan, verse 7, to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilead, and all the people followed him. How? How did they follow him? Trembling. They followed him trembling. So this weighs on Saul's mind. Did he dig his trench deep enough? Did he make it right? Was he doing what he should? Had he gotten it all squared away? You see, he was content. As long as everything was good, everything was smooth, he sent guys away. Hey, the danger's over. And he doesn't make the preparations. Then he gets distracted when the trouble comes. What about you and I? What about us? Do we ever get content in our Christian walk? Do we ever say that the seed planted in my soul grew up? It's good. I'm all right. You know, it was planted like the parable of the sower, and it grew up. It's good. I want you to think about that parable for just a minute, because if I recall correctly, didn't the seed sprout on three different kinds of ground? Can we be content just because we look and say, hey, the seed sprouted, I'm good, I'm doing all right? And we get content. We think it's okay. We don't have to worry. It's sprouted, I'm all right, I'm good. And we get content. Content to come to church on Sabbath. Content to sit and listen and believe. Yeah, believe. Is that enough? To come, to sit, to listen. And don't forget, believe. We believe. It's good. And yet, maybe we're distracted by tares. We're distracted by the weeds in our lives. We're distracted by the cares of this life. And the things and the circumstances we find us in. We're distracted by the 30,000 chariots that are coming down on us in the form of Bank America and our doctor bills. Isn't that how it happens? Let's be real. Let's be honest with one another. Isn't that how it happens? We get distracted. Well, I can tell you, passively waiting for the enemy to attack is not a good battle plan. I've never been to military school, but I figured that much out. You can't just sit and wait, right? That's a real bad idea. I don't know. You see, I was sleeping in that tent, and as I told you, we were on the side of a rolling meadow. Remember that little part there? And long about daybreak, I woke up. But you see, what had happened was, is while I was sleeping, I was doing a little of this, because we were sleeping on the ground, remember? I'm rolling around, you know, and I rolled and I rolled and I rolled and I rolled right out of that tent. Yes, I did. I slid right out of that baby because there weren't a floor in it. And so as I'm rolling around there, I'm rolling like this, but I keep rolling and I keep doing this. And I slid right out of that tent while I'm snoozing away. rolling right out. And it had been doing what during the night? Raining, yeah. So I wake up about daybreak, and from here down, I can't see my feet because they're out there and I'm in here. And I said, this is not good because I still hear rain. And so I decided to kind of take mental stock of what was going on, and I felt and I'm feeling and I'm thinking, and it's like, I'm still warm. Can't be so bad, right? So I venture to stick a little toe around, you know, and sort of feel if I can find a wet spot. Guess what I found? Wet spot. So what's the answer to my problem? Is the answer to my problem, lay more still. Then you won't notice it's wet. Is that what you would do? Is that the answer, to lay more still? Huh? No way. No way. It's time to do something, isn't it? It's time to make something happen. I got to get out of this situation. It's not good. I'm getting wet. I got to do something. And just crawling back into the tent is not the answer anymore either, is it? Because even though the tent was dry, I'm bringing wetness into the tent, right? I'm bringing this into the tent, and no matter what I do, the more I struggle, guess what I'm doing? I'm pushing up against the wet parts, and guess what's happening to the water? The more I wiggle around, the wetter it's getting, right? So I got to do something more than just get back into the tent, don't I? Y'all following where I'm going here? Yeah. And so Saul, you see, had missed some of those opportunities. He'd missed some of those opportunities. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 19 and 20, look at it. Now there were no blacksmith. There was no blacksmith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, Philistines are busy. You seeing that? The Philistines are busy. Israel's cooling out. We're good. We took care of the Ammonites. We're all right. But the Philistines weren't. They're busy. They're saying, what do we have to do to take care of these Israelites? Let's make sure they don't have a blacksmith. Let's take them all away. And so they said, lest the Hebrews make swords and spears. Verse 20, but all the Israelites would go down. They would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare. What? They would do what? Going to the Philistines. I can't imagine it. Going to the Philistines in order to sharpen their plows and their axes and stuff. You see, the idea was, oop, that's a little bit wet. I just need to lay a little more still, and then I won't notice it's wet. So they just laid still. They didn't do anything. And then, in verse 8, chapter 13, verse 8, are you with me? He, meaning Saul, waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Do you notice any problems there? What's the first problem you notice there? You see the big problem right at the beginning, then he, what? Tarried. He slept. He waited. He did nothing. He didn't take that time to get people together, say, look at this. Yeah, there's 30,000 tanks out there. So what? We got millions of angels on our side. Hey, wait a minute. I thought I was preaching here at a church. There's millions of angels. Thank you. Thank you. There's millions of angels on our side. Who cares about the tanks? What are tanks? God is with us, he should have said. Who cares what they've got? We've got God with us. He didn't take that opportunity to take that time and encourage his troops. And brothers and sisters, we cannot sleep comfortably here in our tent either. Are you hearing me? Thank you. Thank you. We cannot sit here and wait for the end of time. We cannot sit here and let the enemy steal a march on us, come up to Michmash, ravage our country, and we go down and say, "Can you sharpen my axe for me, please?" What? How can we sit here week after week and do nothing for the Lord and think we're good because we're in the tent? We could think to ourselves, the problem here is that we don't have strong enough tent. We need a stronger tent. We need thicker canvas. We need to get back to what was real and do what was right. And yes, there is some of that. But you know, I slipped right out anyway. Oh, well, what we need to do is get a more modern tent. That's what we need. Oh, no, some will say, no, that's not made of canvas. It's not good. But the others say, oh, but it is the right way to go because it's got a floor in it. You can't slip out if it's got a floor. It's tied to the walls. Steve, wall and floor, they come together. It's beautiful. It's not about building a stronger tent to keep people from sliding out. It's about doing what the Lord has asked us to do. It's about not caviling to the Philistines. It's about not waiting for them to come to us. It's about not sleeping while we're here. That's what it's about. Thank you. Thank you. That's what it's about. It's about being about our Father's business. It's about being changed people, changing Lakeland. That's what it's about. It's not about how we can keep people from slipping out. It's about doing God's will. You see, folks, we have a warning message to give. Revelation chapter 18 with me. Turn with me. Revelation chapter 18. And verse 4, you see, there's a world out there that needs the warning. There's a world out there that needs a message. There's a world out there that's hurting and in trouble. After these things, verse 1, chapter 18, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. This angel had authority. We can't just sit around and say, well, is it time? Maybe we should do something. Oh, dear. The Philistines are gathering tanks. What do we do? This angel had authority. And he illuminated the earth with his glory, with the glory of God, God's character. And this was what they said. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Brothers and sisters, there's a whole world out there that doesn't even know there's a tent. There's a whole world out there that needs to come out of the rain. There's a whole world that needs warning that they're going to get wet and cold and miserable. And you and I have that message to give. That's who we are. That's what we do. We cannot wait passively. And so, going back to 1 Samuel chapter 14 now. 1 Samuel chapter 14, check it out. Here we are. chapter 14, verse 1, "And it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side.'" That is where we need to be. Let's stop waiting around. Let's stop being at the beck and call of the Philistines. Let's stop sleeping in our tent and worrying about slipping out. Let's attack. The Lord has good things for us. We've got angels on our side. Forget the tanks. God is our refuge and strength. God is there for you and I. God has good things for us. God has what we need to be victorious. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. While I was in that sleeping bag, I was warm. I was toasty. I was good. And I was getting wet. And I didn't even know it. I knew it not. I had no clue. I thought I was okay, but I was getting wet. Moving just a little just made me less comfortable. I couldn't just move a little. I couldn't just go, I'll push out that piece over there and keep it away from me. No, I had to make a big change. I had to make a get out of the sleeping bag experience. You know what I mean? I couldn't just sit there and be a little bit wet and a little bit warm. I wasn't going to cut it, was it? I had to get out and do something like build a fire, right? Start drying things out. Start doing something that would make things better. And that's where we need to be today. You see, Jonathan had had enough and was depending on God. You can tell he was depending on God. You know why? Because he decided he was going to go attack those 30,000 tanks, those 6,000 horsemen, and the men as many as the sand of the sea. And he was taking along his armor bearer. Come on, man. You and me, we're going to do it. You ready? All right, man. You and me, we'll do it. That was how it was. But you see, it wasn't just, I'm going to step out in a militarily unwinnable situation, two guys against all of that, because I'm stupid. But he had God behind him. Are you with me? Take a look. Chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Jonathan is talking to his armor bearer. He says, "If they say thus to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them." We're not going to be stupid. We're going to ask the Lord for direction. We're going to see what the Lord would have us to do. And we'll go where the Lord leads. We'll not go if the Lord doesn't lead. But verse 10, check it out. "But if they say thus, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up." Why? Why will we go up? Because, hey, we know now we're going to be victorious. Is that it? Is that what it was all about? Hang on, I'm going to try and adjust this thing. Oh, I got to be more careful. Am I still there? Doesn't matter anyway, does it? So, if they say, "Come up to us," then we will go up. Why? For the Lord, not us. We're not the ones, it's the Lord. And it doesn't matter that we don't have tanks or horses or men as number as many as the, you know. I just get too excited. "For the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be the sign to us." This will be the sign to us. And so he was willing to let God lead. He was willing to step out. It wasn't crazy, just two against an army. It was God against the army. He knew it, and he was willing to depend on God. Now, what about us? We started with Bible prophecy made simple. Was that awesome or what? Was that awesome or what? Did you see Lewis up here today? Maybe without Bible prophecy made simple, Lewis wouldn't have been up here today. Lewis wouldn't have been here. But praise God for Lewis. Praise God for each one who has come here. Because of Bible prophecy made simple, God has done wonderful things among us. Yes? Amen. All right. And so, here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, it's time to go up to the garrison of the Philistines, brothers and sisters. And I don't mean go attack people and be mean. No, I'm talking about storming the gates of the devil. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking it to him. I'm tired of laying in the tent getting wet, aren't you? I want to go and put some hurting on him. Is that okay to say? It's time, brothers and sisters, to step out in faith. We've been talking about faith. We're talking about doing something with it. Not just saying, yes, I have faith because I believe, but I have faith because I'm willing to step out and trust him. That's what faith is. And that's what Jonathan, and think about this, his armor bearer, right? That's what they had. They had faith in God that he was going to take care of them. And so Bible prophecy has done wonderful things, and we can do more. We can do more as all of us come together and all of us say, now is our time. Now is the time we should get up. Now is the time for warning the people out there that they're going to get wet. That's what we're all about. As we find here with Jonathan stepping out in faith, we can step out in faith too as we plan our evangelism for the next few months as we get ready for these things. Bible prophecy made simple. They gave us the material. They did the presentations. Now we can depend on the Lord to help us with that directly. We are the ones who will be standing up for the Lord. Are you with me? Now it's for you and I to do those things, to prepare materials, to do the presentations, but we can do evangelism right now. Right now, we can begin to pray for your neighbors, pray for your coworkers, reach out to others, begin to stand up. Let's say, let's go to that garrison of the Philistines. Let's take the battle into the field. Now, it won't be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. It took me all day in the rain to dry that sleeping bag out. Did you know that? All day, because the air was wet. It was raining around. Put up a tarp, you know, and then put it like sort of half over the fire. You don't want to put it over there because it'll burn that. So you got to be careful with that. And then you got to figure out how to get your sleeping bag close enough to the fire to dry it out without burning it up. All right? And you got to watch that baby. You got to turn it around and keep it moving because you don't want one spot to get too hot, right? But what if I hadn't? What if I hadn't done something? What if I hadn't built the fire? What if I had just said, it's got a long time to dry. It'll be all right. Huh? What would I have slept in that night? A wet sleeping bag, huh? A wet sleeping bag. It takes effort. Yes, it takes time. It's troublesome. But you got to get ready for the next night. Brothers and sisters, while it's day, let's get ready for tonight when we won't be able to work. What can we do? What can we do? We have to do something for the Lord. We have to be preparing now. What can you do in your life? What can you do in your circumstances? What can you do where you work, where you live, where you bank, where you shop, where you buy gas, where you do the things of your daily life? What can you do? Be more like Christ, absolutely. Be more like Christ. What can we do? We can start with prayer, can't we? We can start with prayer. You see, Jonathan didn't just go tearing up the top of that hill, and then when he got to the top and faced all the Philistines, go, Lord, help me. He started praying before he went up. He started asking the Lord for guidance before he went up. And we need to too. We need to be asking the Lord for guidance right here, right now. Who do we talk to? How do we do this? But you see, Jonathan didn't just sit in his tent and go, well, Lord, what do you want to do? I'm going to sit right here until I hear from you. What? He was brave. He was daring. He was willing to step out into the unknown, into the scary. Yes, into the rain, in order to call others out of the rain. He was willing to do that. And so, I am asking you to be praying. How can you do that for others as we prepare to evangelize Lakeland again and again and again? What can we do? What can you do? What can you do between now and Christmas that would get you in touch with your neighbors? What could you do? What would happen if your neighbors got an invitation to come to your house for some hors d'oeuvres? Hey, holidays, they would think you're a good neighbor. Right? Just invite them over. Oh, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know. These guys want to drink and do stuff. Uh-huh, exactly. You'll put them in a place where you can talk to them without all that. Right? And then what do you know? Your favorite elder just happened to be there too. How about that? Yeah. And they can talk together. Brother Wilson, would you go and talk to people about the Lord if you were invited? Absolutely. Absolutely. So that we can help others learn about Jesus. Just be their friend. Just invite them to your house. Just bring them together where you can touch them for the Lord. That's what we're looking for here. Just step out. That's right, and the thunder will happen. Just step out and let the Lord do what He will. Find out if He'll work through this, because you see, it says here, verse 6, then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's not just sit and wait and see what happens. Let's go. Let's go. It may be that the Lord will work for us. That's what I'm asking you to do. To step out in faith, to put your effort out there, and maybe, just maybe, the Lord will work for us. What an opportunity. What an opportunity for us. Yes, maybe climbing up there, some of your versions say on their hands and knees, maybe we'll get a little bit of skin knees. Are you willing to get skin knees for the one who hung on the cross and died for you? That's the key here. Let's step out. Maybe the Lord will bless us. Let's go. Let's go to the garrison of the Philistines. God has a blessing waiting for us because He's the one who's called us to do it. We can do this. Yes, it may take some time and effort. Maybe your gift isn't having a holiday party. Okay. Maybe your gift is... All right. Maybe your gift is helping out a mom, a single mom, who needs someone to watch her kids while she goes and does some shopping. Maybe that's your gift. Maybe that's what you could do in your neighborhood. Have you noticed single moms in your neighborhood and say, oh, look at her. Well, we know how she got in that position. And that's what your answer is? No, your answer is, how can I help you? How can I do something for you that will bless you so that God is seen in your life. How can I do that for you? That's what I'm asking you to do. God has blessings. God has blessings. We're going to have some prayer time as we get started in this. We'll be talking about it over the next few weeks. We'll be getting ready for some prayer to get us ready for this, to know that we are following God's will. I want you on your knees before the Lord. And maybe we'll skin them up a little bit. Okay, I'm sorry. But we're going to get on our knees for God. We're going to go out in our communities for God. We're going to do things for God because we have to. Because God is making us go out there. Okay, maybe that's a little strong for you. But if you aren't compelled by the Lord, as he said, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in, maybe you need to pray for that. That God will work through you. That God will give you that energy. Because I know I lack that energy sometimes too. You? Yeah, me too. Pray that God will bless. That God will bless Lakeland. That God will bless your brothers and sisters right here. Because once that battle was pitched, the rest of everybody joined in. And we can see that, wow, the Lord is really working. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for Lakeland. And then let's go work. Let's go reach out. Who knows? But whether the Lord will bless. As we get to the top of that hill, they say, let's come up. Let's come up. Check it out, what they said here. Check it out. Verse 12. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you something. That's not the something they wanted to see. Who wants to go get hurt? But that wasn't Jonathan's attitude, was it? Look at what Jonathan said. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me. Where? After me, not before me. Okay, God's going to deliver them in our hands. You guys go. No, Jonathan was saying, come up after me. Jonathan was going up first. Let's go first. Let's not wait around to see who's going to go first. Let's do it. And then it says, come up after me. Why? Why? For the Lord has, past tense, has delivered them into the hand of Israel. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that God has delivered Lakeland into our hand? That's why we're here. That's why we're here. God has delivered Lakeland into our hand. Let's go up. Let's go up. God is with us. Who can be against us? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have seen in your word today amazing promises, and we want to go up, Lord. We want to go forth. We want to depend on you. And yet we pause just here because we want to know that we go only in your strength, not in our own. This is not about us. This is not about us being great warriors or great preachers or great anything. This is not about us and what we're able to do. It doesn't matter what we're able to do because you are able. And so, Father, we turn to you and we ask you to make us fit to fulfill the commission that you've already given us to go into all the world. And that includes Lakeland. We don't want to sit in the tent. We don't want to just wait to see if somebody else will slip out. Father, we want to take this battle to the field. We want to go forth to conquer because it's in the strength of the Lord. And so, Father, we call upon you to show us how to go forward, to do those things, to make us a little wet and uncomfortable in our tent, that we might go forth to see what you will do because you've delivered Lakeland into our hand. In Jesus' name, amen.